Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 12th, 2021. Today is Friday in the third week of Lent. There are two people named Lazarus who appear in the New Testament. One of the Lazarus characters is Lazarus of Bethany, brother of Mary and Martha, the man that Jesus raises from the dead in the 11th chapter of John. The other Lazarus is a fictitious character, a named character in one of Jesus' parables, a parable that Jesus tells in the 16th chapter of Luke and that is commonly referred to as the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Do you remember how that parable goes? Well, for a quick review, Lazarus is dirt poor, possibly homeless in the parable Jesus tells, covered with sores. He sat at the rich man's gate, meaning outside the rich man's enclosed compound, and the rich man saw Lazarus every day, walked past him in and out, and there was Lazarus covered with sores, and Lazarus would have done anything to have eaten the crumbs from the rich man's table. But the rich man was not inclined to share. So the rich man and Lazarus both die. Lazarus is carried to Abraham's bosom, paradise. The rich man goes to hell. And from hell in a place of torment, the rich man looks up and sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. You might remember that song, Rock of My Soul in the Bosom of Abraham. Anyway, that's where Lazarus is, in paradise. And the rich man wants to command Abraham what to do with Lazarus. Send Lazarus that he can dip his finger in some water and come and put it on my tongue because I'm in great torment, I'm thirsty. And Father Abraham says, well, he can't do that. You see, in your life, you had plenty of good and Lazarus had nothing but evil. And now Lazarus has good and the tables are turned. And besides, there's a great gulf fixed between where you are and where Lazarus and I am. And we can't go to you and you can't come to us. But the rich man isn't done bargaining. He says, well, then at least send Lazarus back. Send Lazarus back to the world of the living and have him warn them. I've got brothers. Have Lazarus warn my living brothers to reform their ways so that they don't come to the place where I am. And Abraham says, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe Moses and the prophets. And the rich man says, they'll never believe Moses and the prophets, but if a dead person comes back to life, they will believe him. They will believe Lazarus. And Abraham says, and this is the end of the parable, Abraham says, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe one who has risen from the dead. It's a wonderful story. But then fast forward to the end of the 11th chapter of John. Jesus has performed this sign. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who was 4 days dead, the brother of Mary and Martha, comes out of the tomb for everyone gathered around to see. And some who were there and witnessed it believed on Jesus. Believed that Jesus was who he was saying he was. But others who saw the same exact event, they saw a dead man come out of the grave, still with the grave clothes around him, saw it with their own eyes. They didn't believe. They went back and reported the happening to the religious leaders. And the religious leaders don't rejoice about this amazing moment where a family is reunited? No. They say, this guy's creating all these signs. He's doing all these things and people are following after him. Where does that leave us? Even if someone comes back from the dead, they won't believe. Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, friend of Jesus, is walking around living and breathing and hugging and laughing and weeping with joy. It's a sight to behold, except when you don't want to behold the sight. Except when you're more worried about how the sign will negatively impact you than understanding that you are living in a momentous moment where such signs occur. Human nature hasn't changed that much. We still, as we've been talking all along in this reread of John's Gospel, we still struggle with belief. And in some ways, not believing is simpler. When people say to me, I don't believe in God, I often respond by asking, tell me about the God you don't believe in. And they have a whole laundry list of all the things about God that they find troublesome and that block them from believing. Often, the things that they say are things like, I don't believe in a God who sends people to hell. I don't believe in a God who is wrathful and vengeful. I don't believe in a God who allows evil to happen in the world. I don't believe in a world or in a God where the guilty go free and the innocent are punished. And my response is, well, I'm not really sure that I believe in that kind of a God either. The God that I believe in, the God who loved the world so much that God sends his only son, Jesus, to proclaim a message of healing and hope and love and peace, shalom, wholeness, salvation. That's the God I believe in. And generally, this is where the conversation breaks down. Generally, my conversation partner will say something like, well, maybe it's just easier for you to believe. But it's easier for me not to believe. And so we get back to what we've been talking about. Putting our trust in Jesus, living with the challenges of believing. That's the life of faith. If we had all the certainty in the world, then it wouldn't be a life of faith. I'm back to the rich man looking at Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, in Jesus' parable, in Luke 16, and saying, yeah, they really would believe if someone was risen from the dead. And then I think about the people in the crowd who witnessed Lazarus of Bethany come forth out of the grave. Some believed, and others just believed that this was a problem. Where are we today in the journey of faith? My prayer is that even if we're struggling to believe, even if we're struggling to put our trust in Jesus, my prayer is that we're learning that putting trust in Jesus and that faith without all the answers, it may be a better journey than no faith with easy answers. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, our strength, the true love of your holy name, so that, trusting in your grace, we may fear no earthly evil, nor fix our hearts on earthly goods, but may rejoice in your full salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.